Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, August 2nd, 2021, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the key themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Good morning, Lee. And what have been the main developments in the FX market over the past week?
Hi, morning, Una. Yeah, like the main development really over the past week has been the fact that we've seen the dollar continue to correct lower towards the end of last month. And the main kind of trigger for this weakness in the dollar that we've seen has been the comments we had last week from Fed. Fed Chair Powell kind of signaled that, yes, the Fed is kind of moving closer to tapering their quantitative easing program, but it's only going to be a very kind of gradual process. He effectively kind of almost ruled out starting that tapering process as soon as at the September FOMC meeting, expecting them still to discuss whether the economic conditions justify tapering QE at the coming meeting. So it would signal to us that they're more likely to kind of announce and start tapering towards the end of this year, maybe November, December meetings, or even early next year. So I think that has kind of brought some short-term relief to market participants who were kind of fearful that they could start tapering even sooner. So that has seen the dollar correct lower over the past week. And we think the dollar will continue to kind of trade on a softer footing in the week ahead. The other development of note which caught our attention over the past week has been the positive data surprises that we've seen coming out of the Eurozone. Towards the end of last week, we saw the release of the latest GDP data from Europe, and that came in much stronger than expected, with the Eurozone economy expanding robustly by 2% in the second quarter. And that just provides kind of clearer evidence that the easing of the COVID-related restrictions from the middle of last quarter has allowed the Eurozone economy to bounce back more strongly. And particularly, obviously, the sectors of the economy which were held back by restrictions are the ones which are bouncing back the most, such as kind of consumer spending on services which had been restricted by those measures put in place due to COVID. And if you look at the country by country breakdown as well, that as well kind of showed very strong growth coming from southern European countries such as Spain and Italy. They almost expanded by close to 3% in the second quarter, and that did prove sufficient to largely offset the somewhat disappointing growth data coming from Germany. Obviously, it's still expanded by 1.5%, but it was below expectations, and it looks like the German industrial sector is being impacted by the supply restrictions globally, and that is holding back the initial pace of recovery in Germany. But overall, it is a positive picture. Growth in the second quarter was stronger than the ECB had expected, and that positive momentum we expect to continue during the second half of this year, and we're expecting that to start to lift kind of expectations for growth this year as a whole in Europe up towards 5%. So we think that will give the ECB more confidence as we head into the autumn meetings that they can start to scale back some of the emergency easing that's currently in place. We're expecting the ECB to announce that their PEP program, the Pandemic Emergency Purchase Program, we think that's likely to be brought to an end in the first quarter of next year. But we still think as well that it's important to stress that the ECB have also signaled at their latest policy meeting that they're going to maintain looser policy for longer as well, as they've adopted this new, more dovish forward rate guidance. So even if they do bring an end to the PEP program in Q1 of next year, I think they'll look to kind of partially offset the tightening impact of that by also kind of beefing up the asset purchase program going forward. increasing the pace of those monthly purchases so that we don't see such a sharp drop off in the overall pace of asset purchases going forward. So I think the message still is, yes, Eurozone economy is coming back more strongly. That should encourage some tightening of ECB policy. But I think the kind of upside for the euro for here, we still think is more modest because ultimately the ECB is not going to dramatically shift towards tighter policy when they still don't think that inflation is going to rise towards their target on a sustainable basis at this point. So they're willing to look through short-term kind of inflation overshoot in Europe. But beyond that, they're still concerned that inflation is going to fall back below target. So they won't be in a rush to tighten policy.
And what key events are you looking out for in the week ahead, Lee?
I think the two kind of main policy meetings this week. Firstly, we have the Reserve Bank of Australia meeting. Expectations obviously going into that meeting is that the RBA is expected to have a more dovish policy announcement in response to the negative cyclical developments we're seeing in Australia right now. Obviously, we've seen a tightening of COVID restrictions in Australia, and that has increased the risk that the Australian economy could contract again in the third quarter. And we think that the RBA will respond to that at their latest policy meeting. We think at the very least, they're likely to announce that they're going to at least delay or stop their previous plans to slow down the pace of quantitative easing from September. I think those plans are likely to be kind of scrapped for a period. And there's also a kind of risk as well that the RBA may even go further down the more kind of dovish direction and even announce an increase in the pace of quantitative easing purchases at the upcoming meeting. So I think those kind of dovish expectations have already contributed to the Australian dollar underperforming in the FX market. We've recently recommended a short Australian dollar position against the New Zealand dollar, given that the RBNZ is moving closer to raising rates. We see some potential there for policy divergence to continue to widen between the RBA and RBNZ. The second kind of policy meeting that we'll be focusing on as well later this week is the Bank of England's latest policy update. In contrast to the RBA, there are kind of expectations that the Bank of England could signal a more hawkish policy direction at this week's policy meeting. Our view is that we think there is some possibility that we could see some policy tightening from the Bank of England this week. It is possible that they could announce a further slowdown in the pace of quantitative easing at this meeting, although that isn't a done deal. We're also looking as well at their updated inflation forecasts. We're expecting those updated inflation projections to show inflation still at or around their 2% target over their policy relevant horizon, with some kind of building upside risks to that as well. And that is kind of incorporating the view that market rates are now expecting the Bank of England to start to raise rates from around the middle of next year. So we think if the Bank of England does kind of signal that that's the kind of outlook for inflation that they're looking for going forward based on current market rates, to us, that would be kind of an endorsement from the Bank of England that they are kind of agree with current market pricing, that rates could start to raise from the middle of next year. So to us, that would be kind of a potentially hawkish signal from the Bank of England in the week ahead, that they are thinking about moving closer to tightening policy. And to us, that makes sense. I think obviously the other kind of big positive development, which markets have been focusing on over the past couple of weeks here in the UK, has been the more positive COVID data. We have seen a drop back in the number of new cases of COVID here in the UK, which is providing kind of more reassurance and optimism that the vaccines are proving effective and that immunity here in the UK to COVID is increasing to levels which is starting to have a more dampening impact in terms of stopping the spread of and the severity of COVID here in the UK. So I think if those kind of encouraging developments were to continue going forward, then we can be more confident that we're unlikely to see kind of a significant retightening of COVID restrictions here in the UK. So to us, that gives us kind of more confidence that the recovery should continue more strongly going forward. And then eventually the Bank of England will respond to that by tightening policy as we move into next year, which is kind of one of the kind of key reasons why we have established as well or recommended a new short euro sterling position.
Thanks very much for sharing your insight, Lee. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.